Good morning, everyone. It's my joy to welcome you to worship this morning.
Dear Lord, we ask that you hear our prayers this morning. Father God, we love you more than we can say. We praise you for being the one and only true God. We stand in awe of your generosity, creativity, holiness, compassion, faithfulness, grace, and never-ending mercy. Thank you for being the immeasurable, supreme creator of our universe and everything within it. Thank you for the comfort that we find in knowing that you are sovereign and perfect, that no one is outside of your reach and nothing escapes you. We praise you for the splendor of your creation that we witness each new day. We gaze upon the beauty of nature and marvel at the cycles of the seasons. Father, we are so grateful for the abundance of your provisions. We can look back on our lives and see where you have offered practical and spiritual blessings when we might have felt hopeless and lost. We are thankful for the ways that you sustain us, seen and unseen. Thank you that this contributes to our faith in you and reminds us that we are children of the King. We are grateful that we can come to you for anything at any time. Father, please forgive us for the times that we neglect you and your desire for us to trust you. We are sorry that we take our eyes off of you, even for a moment, and focus on our circumstances rather than your power. Forgive us for following the examples that the world sets rather than setting the examples ourselves. Dear Father, we ask you to comfort those of us in this congregation who are experiencing pain, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. We ask for your warm embrace to comfort those who desire your healing powers. We ask for your grace in every corner of the world that needs to know your love. We pray for the conflict in Israel and Gaza, in every country, large and small, where people are in distress. Father, in addition to the living water that your Son offers, we pray too for water. We are living through a drought right now, and we really could use your pouring rain. Only you know the needs of each member of humanity, and we pray that those who have no knowledge of you come to know the love that is impossible to resist. And now, as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from John 11, 17 through 27 and 38 through 44. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
So good morning, West Valley. It's a privilege to be here, and thank you for a warm welcome to me as I walk in here. Seems I get to know some of your leaders, Nate, and some audio folks, so it feels home already. It feels like home. So I know Pastor Kim for almost a year now. We are part of a young pastor group in the Valley. You know, Pastor Dave Water Mulder, pastor of Los Gatos Press, gather us together in one place. You know, several pastors, five of us. So every month we join together and share ideas and stuff like that and support each other in prayers. So it's been wonderful. And one day, Pastor Kim called me and said, "Would you like to do a pulpit exchange?" "Yeah, why not?" So yeah, I got a better end because I get to preach only once. She got to preach twice. Well, so yeah, a little bit about me. I came to the United States 12 years ago from Indonesia. At that time, I barely spoke the language. And until now, I still barely speak the language. So if you don't understand me, raise your hand. I will preach for you one more time. So, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for bringing us together here today. And we just want to ask your blessing upon our life today. Speak to us. Speak to us. Anoint every one of us today. And let us know what you want us to do in our life. In your holy name. Amen. So, I think I have a picture here. You know, talking death is no fun. Some will feel uneasy, some will feel queasy. And you know, if somebody start talking about death, you know what, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about something fun, let's talk about life. Let's talk about football or baseball or parties, summer party, you know, something fun. Don't talk about death. For a lot of people, talking death is a taboo. In Indonesia, where I came from, you know, people don't like talking about death. When we are talking death there, you know, in Indonesia, it's the same thing as wishing the person you are having a conversation with to die soon. So don't ever talk death to Indonesian people. But yet this morning, I courageously allow myself to talk about death to you for two reasons. One, death is inevitable. It's around us, part of life. No one can deny that. Another reason is just like what Jesus said in the Gospel of John, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. If death is the ultimate defeat of humanity, then we must talk about it, so that the power of God that has overcome death can shine through it. Do you agree?
Yes.
Do you agree about that?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to agree, because I'm going to talk about it anyway, right? So you got no choice. So Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. 4 days. So imagine me as Lazarus. I am Lazarus now, okay? And I have been dead for 4 days. 4 days of being dead means I am so dead. There's no more air coming in and out of my lungs. There is no more word flowing in and out of my mouth. There's no more thought running in and out of my brain. And I am in this pitch dark cave, laying helplessly on the flat rock. So in the time of Jesus, the dead body was wrapped in a linen cloth like a mummy. Just like that. So here I am, a mummy in a dark cave, immobile and separated from the outside world where my family and friends live. I live now in my own dark world. And for 4 days being dead, my own body starts to separate. You know, the medical journal that I read says that maggots can consume up to 60% of human body in under 7 days. Ew! So being dead for 4 days means maggots may have consumed more than a third of my body. Think about that. Don't think about it. It's gross. When life is gone, death takes over. Death is separation. In that process, death separates everything, separates myself from the great and grandeur world of color that was created by our God. Death separates me from the light that I used to see, from the air, the word, the thoughts, and mobility that I used to experience. The death separates me from every aspect of life and at the same time bound me into a new world. The world of darkness. The world of darkness. The dead me is now inside this little cave. Dark and lonely. But at least I feel R.I.P. I feel that I am resting in peace. And then, still me as a Lazarus, I hear a commotion outside my little dark caves. There's a man by the name of Jesus coming to town. Oh, yeah. I remember now this man, this is my good bro. You know, he's my family's friend. Jesus is a wonderful teacher and he is a wonderful master, Lord, a Messiah. We used to hang out together and break bread together. A nice man he is. And I hear another footsteps. Oh, my sister Martha coming, running to meet Jesus. Uh-oh. Here comes trouble. And I hear Martha wailing so loudly, Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Oh, good grief. What is she doing? Is she blaming my bro Jesus for my death? Chill out, sister. And Jesus said, chill out, sister. And that's right. I just said that, right? And Jesus continued, chill out, Martha. Chill out. Chill out, right? Your brother will rise again. What the? I cannot believe my ears. Did I hear it correctly? I am going to rise again. I am just resting in peace, I thought. And then my sister said, yeah, right, Lord. I know he will rise again in the end of the day. Oh, no, Jesus said. You got it all wrong, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? So, friends, what would you say to Jesus if Jesus is going to rise you up? If you were Lazarus, what would be your reaction? Would you like to be back to life again? Or are you just too happy living in the new state of your life? Away from the outside world, away from life altogether, and living in the bondage of darkness. Perhaps you think, oh, you know what? I'd rather die because life is hard. Too much sorrow, too much pain and suffering. I'd rather die than to live in this world full of sadness. I'd rather die than thinking about wars about between the Palestinians and the Israelites. And I'd rather die than thinking about climate change, malnourished children, AIDS pandemic or Ebola virus, broken relationship, corrupt governments. So you know what? I'd rather die. I'm so happy within my own little cave. I don't need to go back to life. And this is what I believe, friends. I believe that the story of Lazarus talks not only about physical death, but also the spiritual death for all of us today. There is an interesting wordplay in this story. The name Lazarus is a shorter form of the name Eliezer, means God's helps. And Bethany, the town where Lazarus lived, came from the Hebrew name Bethania, means house of affliction. So who among us do they live like Lazarus, who looks for God's help because we have been living in the house of affliction? So spiritual death became a reality for humanity after the fall of Adam and Eve. We know the story. God told Adam, you know what? You should never eat the fruit from the tree of knowledge and of good and evil. If you eat it, you're just going to die. But they ate it. And yet, they did not die immediately. Rather, their relationship with God was severed. They became aware of their nakedness, and they created clothes of leaves and hid themselves from God in shame. They were no longer functioning spiritually. Adam and Eve were spiritually dead. Romans 5 says, Apostle Paul says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. The sin of Adam and Eve tainted all humanity. We all have a sinful nature. We are born separated from God, from others, and even from our own selves. Death is within us even when we are still physically alive. And that is the sad truth about spiritual death, that we are so dead inside. We are so broken inside, but yet we look okay from the outside. We look happy and walking and breathing, but deep inside there's nothing there. We're just like walking dead. You watch that show? A zombie. We're just like zombie. You know, nothing inside. We lose touch with the world. We disconnect ourselves from the world around us, and we live inside our own little dark cave. We see the world as a depressing place to live, not as a good world that has been redeemed by God. And we see others as a threat of our own well-being. Think about that. There's a story about a man who was roaming in this world. So this man saw people love each other, and he saw that love made strenuous demands on the lovers. This man saw that love required sacrifice and self-denial, and this man saw that love produced arguments, jealousy, and sorrow. So this man said, you know what? Love costs too much, and he decided not to diminish his life with love. And this man also saw people strive for distant and hazy goals. He saw men strive for success and women strive for high ideals. He saw that the striving was often mixed with disappointment. He saw strong and committed men fail, and he saw weak, undeserving men succeed. He saw that striving sometimes forced people into pettiness and greed. And this man decided that it cost too much. He decided not to soil his life with striving. And then he saw people serving others. He saw men give money to the poor and helpless. He saw that the more they served, the faster the need grew. He saw ungrateful receivers turn on their serving friends. And then he decided not to soil his life with serving. When this man died, he walked up to God and presented his life to him, undiminished, unmarred, unsoiled. And this man was so clean and untouched by the filth of the world. And he presented himself to God proudly saying, Lord, here's my life. And what God said to him, life? What life? What life? You know, the guy in that story had been living in the bondage of his own dark, tiny cave that separates himself from the outside world. He's been long dead, even though he was still walking on earth. I have to ask you again, friend. Do you feel there is a bondage around you that keeps you from God and the world around you? Do you feel there is a bondage around you that keeps you from God and others? You know, we argue that the death that befalls us does not come out of nowhere. We say, you know, I've been dealing with bad relationship for years and years. I came from abusive parents, abusive spouse. We've been dealing with sicknesses for years and years, surgery after surgery, cancer after cancer. Every single disease has incapacitated us to enjoy the world. And we say that we've been dealing with betrayal of our best friends. We've been dealing with crazy bosses. We've been dealing with crazy schedules in our offices. And we've said, you know, I had it enough. I'd rather drop dead than continue living in hell. We've lost the battle, and we cannot accept living as losers. And then we found ourselves coming to church every Sunday, and that means nothing, just an empty ritual. We pray. You know, we just pray for world peace. We pray for those who are in trouble. We pray for those who are sick. The reality is, God never answers my prayer. And we listen to the sermon from the preachers that's too good to be true. God, forgiveness, love, what is all that? The reality is way different. And we say to ourselves, I'd rather drop dead. And we throw in the towel. That's it. I've had it enough. So leave me alone, God. Leave me alone, Jesus. Leave me alone, friends. Let me die. Let me live in this dark, tiny cave. Let me live in the bondage of darkness. The disappointment, deception, ignorance, and fear have crippled us and bound us so strongly and make us dead spiritually. Just like in Lazarus' story, the physical death, Lazarus could do nothing for himself because the bondage of death is so strong. So he was so unresponsive to all stimuli, oblivious to all life around him, beyond all help and hope. But this is the good news. Only Jesus can help him. So when you heard that Jesus is about to rise you up, friends, today, what would be your answer? What would be your response? What would be your response when you hear, I am the resurrection and the life? Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. What would be your answer to the invitation of Jesus Christ to live? You know, Jesus does not give any choice to Lazarus. When Martha came wailing under the foot of Jesus, she knew that there is still hope. And for those who encountered Jesus that day, Jesus does not give any option. You all must back to life. You must go back to life. You must stop living in a dark, tiny cave. And Jesus shouted, Lazarus, Come out! And it's a very rare occasion where Jesus really shouts. Very rare. But Jesus had to shout in order to bring life from death. Lazarus, come out! And he's shouting to all of us today as well. Nate, come out! Where's Nate? Nate, come out! Brenda, come out! Karen, come out! Lisa, come out! Steve, come out! Everybody, come out! Get out of your pity life. Get out of your miserable life. Get out of your addiction. Get out of your stress, depression, and disappointment. Life, come to me. Get out and receive this life. Because Jesus said, you know, I came to bring light to the darkness. I came to bring life to the death. I came to bring freedom to the bondage. Get out. Get out. Come out and receive life. So after Jesus shouted, Lazarus came out. His hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him. Unbind him. Unwrap him. And let this man go. Today, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, brings freedom to our life. When Lazarus encountered Jesus that day, he regained back his life. How about you? Will you accept life again? So do you know, friend, what is the stance of bondage? I have a motion here. This is a bondage, you know. Put your arms like this. This is a bondage wrapped around. You cannot move. You live like a mummy. You cannot move. You barely walk. Everything is wrapped around you. Do you know what is the stance for freedom, life, power? Raise it. Raise your hands, friend. Raise your hands. Oh, yeah. This is the stance of freedom. Victory, right? Like a football player that run around winning the victory. You know? So I want to invite you all to say together with me. From the bondage of death. Say it together. Come and shout it. Freedom. One more time. From the bondage of death comes freedom. Let's stand. From the bondage of death comes freedom. From the bondage of your miserable life comes freedom. From the bondage of stress and addiction and stress comes freedom. And one more time, freedom. Lord Jesus, we want to claim that freedom in you because you came to this world to bring light, to bring life, and to bring freedom to all of us. So God, it's a shameful thing if we deny that invitation to have freedom in you. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, so that we can receive that freedom today. As we encounter you, as we walk with you every day, remind us about that freedom in you, so that we can live again. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and forever. And shout it with me one more time. Freedom! Amen.